Ever since Easter, we've been looking at the greatest event that has ever happened to us, because it is through the resurrection of Jesus that everything makes sense. Why we're here, why we believe what we believe, it has nothing to do with developing morality. It has nothing to do with following a philosophy of life. It has nothing to do with even serving God and lifting Him up and praising Him. None of that matters outside of the resurrection of Christ. The reason we have life, the reason we have hope, the reason we have been transformed and given even the opportunity to do those other things are because Jesus rose from the dead. It is that act that broke the very hold on us of sin and death and this decay that we see in the world, everything around us. We see the brokenness of our own heart, of society, of culture, of even nature. It says even nature groans under this current state. And we see death all around us, hate, pain, sorrow. And yet it was for that reason that Jesus came and took all of the brokenness, the death and the pain and the sorrow, and then rose again to start the new cycle of creation again. And we have been in that for a long time. You might say, man, nothing has happened for 2,000 years since he broke it. So if it was such a big event, why has things not changed? And the Bible tells us exactly the reason why, because God is long-suffering. Because even though at that moment God could have started everything fresh, he loved you and me more than the immediate response. And so he has waited, even to this time, for us to come into that acknowledgement and experience of what Jesus has done. And so it is the long-suffering and the love of God that has kept going to this point. And so we've looked at the different things that we receive out of the resurrection. We've looked at the joy of the resurrection. We've looked at all that he has given us because of the resurrection. And today I want to look at something else. Even as we celebrate this Mother's Day, if you really look at Mother's Day, what makes it special is not necessarily just this physical act of giving birth, because many times that can happen without any connection or any life-giving process beyond the physical happening. But what we really celebrate is what Mother's Day represents, is that connection of belonging. Without the connection of belonging, it means nothing. And that is why many times Mother's Day is not necessarily about just the person who gave birth to you, but sometimes in Mother's Day, we can celebrate someone who has come alongside of us and has been a mother, who has been a mentor, who has been a loving anchor in the midst of our life. And that's what we really celebrate today. Because it's the belonging, it's this idea of whose you are that makes a difference. And I think we need to realize whose we are, because who you belong to is where you really find meaning. It's where you really find comfort. It's where you find home. It's where you find a source of identification of who I am. And so many times, we have not had good physical experiences. Maybe home life has not always had the positive things. And so we have really moved from those things to we've given ourselves to other things in a seeking for value and purpose. And we need to ask ourselves, whose are you? And here's what the resurrection did. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was a cry that you can be someone better, because Jesus said, you can be mine. Whose are you? You can be Jesus. You can be God's. And so God tells us that with the resurrection of Christ, he has cemented this statement that you are mine. On the little gifts that we've given all the mothers today, it has a reference to a scripture that we're going to look at today, and that is in Isaiah chapter 43. And we're going to just look at verse 1, and I think this is such a great answer to this question of whose are you? Isaiah 43, verse 1 says this, "But now thus says the Lord." So here's what the Lord says. Here's his answer to this question. "He is the one who created you, O Jacob. He's the one who formed you, O Israel." And he says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." And so God has stepped into our existence. And in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our struggling to find who we are and where we fit in this world, God says, in the midst of everything you're going through, "I want you to know I'm the one that created you. I formed you, and you're mine because I have redeemed you." It's not a "you are mine because I have forced you into submission," but it's "I have loved you enough to redeem you, to offer a hand of rescue, that if you will take my hand, if you will receive that, I will stamp upon your forehead, you are mine." To know that we are God's, more than our mom, more than our dad, more than our job, more than our achievements, more than what we can receive in life, more than the pleasures that our heart longs for. You do not belong to them. You belong to God. And that makes all the difference. He went beyond that. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says this. He says, "You need to understand that you were purchased, not with gold and silver, not with things on this earth, not by hard work, but you were purchased, you were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus." He didn't come and work hard enough that you deserve to serve him. He didn't come and stand before you because "I'm the God of the universe, you need to follow me." He says, "I'm asking you to be mine because I was willing to give the very blood from my body. I was willing to suffer for you. I was willing to give my breath and my life for you." It says you are purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. And now you are his. When we think about being God's, what God wants you to do is begin to let that break the chain of everything else that we have given ourselves to. Because the problem with who we have given ourselves to is it separates us from being able to be who God wants us to be. Even though God tells us whose we are, and even though he has given everything to redeem us, the problem is we do not receive that because we have given ourselves to something else. We've given ourselves to relationships. We've given ourselves to family. And they're not bad things, but they are not whose we are. And until we understand whose we are, we can never really find the fulfillment of even those things in our life. And they become a wall and a barrier to receiving everything that comes from belonging to Christ. Everything that he paid for and he raised from the dead to give us. So I'm going to just quickly look at four things that you receive by belonging to Christ. That because of his resurrection, because Jesus rose again, you can be his in a deeper way than just saying I'm a Christian or just falling into a habit of going to church. But he wants it to be a relationship where you truly begin to understand that you are His. The first thing, when we really realize that we are His, is that we receive value. When you realize whose you are, there is a value of your identity that goes beyond anything that this world can offer. You see, God says, you are more precious than gold to me. You are not just some byproduct of physical recreation. I have purposely and with intent formed you just the way you are. Psalms 139 says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are not just an evolution of cells that came together and just by random act, this gene came together and this gene came together and now you are who you are. And then you went through some experiences growing up who formed your personality and now that's just who you are. God says, I want you to know there's a deeper value to who you are. You are uniquely and wonderfully made. And I treasure you. If you go farther in that verse that we just read in Isaiah 43, this is what God says. He says, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom. I gave Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. You need to know that you are so valuable that God was willing to give everything that He had for you. He gave the things of this world, Ethiopia and Egypt, all those represents the highest that you can attain in this world. At that time, you know, the Egyptians were the civilization that were high, and yet God says, I will give up everything in this world for you because you are precious to me. And because of that, I honor you and I love you. You see, until we begin to receive the value that God gives us, we continue to devalue our life. The reason that we struggle and we hurt others and we constantly hurt ourselves is because we are constantly trying to find value. We want to be valued. And so we give ourselves to other people. But I'm going to tell you, other people cannot value you because they're in the same thing trying to find value for themselves. So all we do is use each other. So you are not going to find value from other people, even though they may love you in the short term and you might receive very small amounts of that. You are never going to be fulfilled in the value that someone else can give you. We give ourselves to jobs and achievement because if I make enough money and I have a quality of life, then I will feel valued. And yet you will never find satisfaction in those achievements because they are so fragile. They only last for a minute and then you lose them. You can never find value in pleasure because the pleasure, in fact, is even worse than temporary. It's like burning a candle. It doesn't last forever, and when it's gone, even that which it burned leaves you with nothing left. Well, that's not value that is just burnt up and then gone. God says, I give you a value that you actually end up with more left over when I'm done with you. Instead of being used up, you get multiplied with the value that God gives you because He sees you as part of Himself and wants to breathe His very breath into you. That's why you were created in the image of God. So the treasure, when you understand who you are in God, it is only then you can truly enjoy relationships with others. Then you can give yourself to others, and then you can give yourself to the achievements of this life. Then you can enjoy the pleasures of the world because you realize that I don't belong to them. I belong to God, but it's because I belong to God that I can enjoy what God has given me instead of belonging to those things. Well, not only does belonging to God give us value, but when you realize whose you are, you find out that you have new purpose. You see, not only do we desire value in our life, but we desire purpose. When you ask anyone, what's the greatest question of all history? Of course, is always, why are we here? That's always the biggest question. And yet, the only reason that question is not answered is because they don't realize whose they are. When we realize that I am God's, I can answer that question easily. There's a reason why I'm here. I am here to glorify God. I am here to live in the life that God has given me. I am here to begin to experience all creation as His overseer and steward of life. You see, when we understand that we are His, we have purpose. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, what a great statement. It says, you are His workmanship. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you would walk in them. You know what? Before you even understood who you were, God was already planning your purpose. You see, you were created for a purpose. And it wasn't just to lose yourself in a never-ending struggle to get ahead or to make it through another day or just to make it through the conflicts of life. You were created to be creative. You see, God sees in you the ability that He has given you to make this world better because of you. And every one of us have a different gift to give this world because God has made us into that fact, into that those unique snowflakes that together we were meant to be a glorious picture of the image of God throughout creation and throughout this universe that would live in harmony together, that we can find a joy of existence just like God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit experienced together. We are also meant to be creative in giving ourselves and adding to the life of creation. You were created for works that only He has set aside for you. But we never achieve that if we don't understand that we are His. If we don't put our hand in His hand and say, I will be yours. If we don't receive the call of Christ saying, will you come to me? Will you be born again? Will you be a new child and put old things away and let me give you new things? And when we do that, when we surrender this giving ourselves to the world and begin to give ourselves to God, I'm going to tell you, we find new purpose. We find that the things that we do become more productive. We find that the things we do, we find new joy in them. We find something deeper than even the deepest things that we experience in life. And we can experience great things in life, but they're only a shadow of experiencing them when we understand and give ourselves to Him. So we receive value, we receive purpose, but there's one thing, there's a couple other things. The next thing is we receive security. You see, in the midst of finding value and finding purpose, the problem is a lot of times what we give up is security. We will risk so much to find value. You know what? We long for other people's approval so much that we give up security. We will put ourselves out there in such vulnerable places just to have a little bit of value and purpose. And yet God says, I do not desire that for you. I want to give you not only value, not only purpose, but I want to be a rock for you. You see, if you're mine, then you have an anchor that nothing in this world can pull out. And here's an awesome thing, that if you surrender to God and begin to live a new purpose and a new value in whose you are, I'm telling you, you then are built on a foundation that no one can steal from you. Yes, you may go through trials and you will go through storms. In fact, Jesus Himself said, people who follow me are not free from heartaches. In fact, He says, in this world, you will experience hard times. But you can keep your head up because understand this, I have overcome this world. And this world is not your final home. This is just a journey. Because when you understand that you're mine, you see throughout the hardest, darkest tunnels, you are anchored to one who is bigger than all of those things that you face. There is security. Again, back to Isaiah 53. After he tells us that we are his, look at this promise in verse 2. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. He says, when you go through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And you, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Now you notice he doesn't say that you'll never encounter floods. It doesn't say you'll never experience fire in your life. It doesn't say you'll never have loss. But in the midst of it, he said, you can hold on to my hands and know that I will never leave you. That those things will not define you. But in fact, because I am with you, those things are going to make you stronger. That you are going to come through it like a ship with an anchor that held them strong. That you will have a memory that my God loved me because I am his. And these things cannot destroy me. In Romans 8, it says then, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who has justified us. Who is he who condemns us? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen again, who is at the right hand of God and who also makes intercession for us. You see, right now, Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for you and me. What greater security is that? That I don't care what the world throws at you. You're going to get stuff thrown at you. But God is on our side. If God is for us, then who can be against us? I might get some bumps and bruises, but the enemy's going to be destroyed. You see, I might have some scars in this life, but I'm going to be resurrected like Jesus into a new glorious body. And those things are going to be forgotten because I'm going to hold on to the one who says that I am his. See, I don't belong to my job. I don't belong to who people say I am. I don't belong to those things. Those things happen to me, but I belong to God. And because of that, I have security. I have a foundation in my life. The final thing, when we realize whose we are, we see that we have a future. And here's the greatest thing of all. Because see, all those other things kind of just get us through the day. I mean, I'm glad that I have value, that I am special. I don't care what you think about me. And sometimes I know I don't deserve it. But to my God, he loves me warts and all. All the broken things that I'm still working on. And I'm not celebrating those. I'm not trying to say, God, you just love me so I can just be the worst person that I can be and you still love me. No, I'm not saying that. It's because he loves me that I'm working on those things, and I don't want to stay in that position, but he loves me enough that I know that I am getting better. I'm moving through those things. And it is not just the purpose that I have in life. I'm glad I have that because it gives me a goal. It gives me a direction in life. But that's just temporary, and it's not the security. And I love having security because it takes away my fear, and it takes away my frustration and what's going to happen. But all of those are just for this life. Here's the greatest thing that he gives us. Because we are his, there's a future that goes beyond the next 20 years, the next 50 years. I have a future. Because of him. And if I am not his, I'm going to tell you, you have no future. You may have some upcoming years in your life, But without being his, there is no future. It says, everyone comes a day that everyone dies and then the judgment. And that's just a reality. So here's the question. On that day, whose will you be? Will you be the one that God says, welcome, come into your inheritance because I've known you. You have my name written on your heart. You have sought me. You have given yourself to me, not in perfection, not that we do everything right, but we have loved him. That's what I want to hear on that day, that now my future is before me. Whereas otherwise, the only other option is depart from me because I never knew you. Those that have decided to live for themselves, if you've given yourself to your own desires, if I belong to my dreams, I belong, you know whose I am? I'm mine. That's what the world wants you to say. That's what the world wants you to give to. But when you begin to give yourself to yourself, or when you give yourself to the pursuit of even happiness in this world, or I am my family's, and that's great, and it's loving, but in the end, your family does not offer you anything after death. Money cannot give you any future after the grave. It is only God's. So the real question is, if we want a future, whose are you? And if you are his, what a future it is. And that we could go through the whole Word of God. But in Ephesians, Paul encourages the church. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you. I make mention of you in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, I pray that he may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Paul says, of all things that I pray for you, I don't pray that everything goes right for you. I don't pray that you would be perfect in everything you do. Here's what I really pray. I pray that God would give you an understanding that there's more than this life, that there is a rich inheritance that God has planned for you. Because see, this world is broken, but there's coming a day when he's putting it back together. And that's what the resurrection promises. It is because of the resurrection that we have a glimpse that there's a new creation coming. Just as Jesus was risen again, this world is going to rise again. He is going to make everything new. And if you could just understand how great your future is, Paul says, I think then you wouldn't give yourself to all these other things. You wouldn't belong to other things that don't give you that future if you could just understand what God offers you. It may be hard in the short run. There might be a cost. But I'm telling you, the cost is worth it. It's kind of like saying, I will let you buy an island in the Caribbean with a mansion on it, with a boat that comes with it, and a plane that you get. And you get all of this for $10,000. Now, some of us may say, I don't have $10,000. But if you realize what you got for that, for $10,000, I could scrape something up. I'll get some people joined together. For $10,000, that is a bargain. Now, here's the thing. God tells us, if you will lay down your life, if you will serve me for the rest of your life, I will give you heaven. I will let you rule with me in a new heaven and a new earth. You get life forever. You get a new body. But you know what we say? All we focus on, I got to serve you for the rest of my life. I can't do what I want. You know what? You have been given a bargain. Something that the money, the cost of what God asks us to give up does not even compare to what he is giving us. We need to begin to understand that there is a future inheritance because we are his that is worth anything that we can give to him. So today, I want to ask you, What would you give up for the value, the purpose, the security, and the future that God offers? Are you willing to say, God, I want to be yours? You know, when we were born, we didn't get to choose our mom. We didn't get to choose our family. But here's what Jesus says. Now you get a choice. Here's the real important thing. Because some of us are lucky, and we think we're all lucky with our moms. But God says, I have put before you another choice. You can choose to be born again. There can be a new start to your life if you will simply choose me. If you will choose me, God says that I will write on your heart a name that no one can erase. And I will say and declare, like he said in Isaiah 43, you are mine, and no one can take you out of my hand. But it's our choice. We actually get to choose that life. And I'm telling you today, it is a choice that you cannot afford not to make. Whose are we? Who are we giving ourselves to? Who do you belong to? God says, will you belong to me? I want to give you value that no one can give you. I want to give you a purpose that you don't even realize you have. I want to give you security in the midst of a world that's shaking. I want to let you know that you can be firm. And I want to give you a future that will blow your mind. And I know we can't even, it says that mind cannot even imagine what God has in store for those of us who love him. So today, whose are you? Not just your mom, but whose are you? You can be Christ today. That's who I want to be. I want God to say, you're mine. You are my precious child. And in John chapter 1, he said, whoever would simply believe on me and love me and confess me and follow me, says to that person, I give the right to become a child of God. Let's make that choice today.